Good morning, Southside, and welcome. And I want to welcome everybody to this awesome day of worship. It's a bit foggy out there, and this is where we call this imaginary deer with a red nose named Rudolph. Okay. And I want to warn you that there's only just a few hours left, shopping hours left before Christmas. Yeah, and if you're there, you can thank you, Danny. And if you're wondering why I'm in blue jeans, because right after church, I got to head on to lunch and then to work. So, and working with concrete and lumber, ladies, that's one place. Gentlemen, the shovels are in another place in the store. And in between, for this heat wave that we're having, are these small mini refrigerators. Okay, so we have that. And welcome everybody online. Say hi to all the guys online. So we are glad all our visitors, all our people are here and our families, and we are glad that you're here. So if you're looking for a little plump guy with a white beard, and no, I'm not talking about Danny, but someone coming to visit tonight, then this is the night. This is the night. I'm going to start out by reading several scriptures, and today is a wonderful day that we remember the birth of our Savior. The most important thing is that a child was born and one king came to be the light of the world. I'm going to start out in Isaiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. And then Jeremiah writes, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name of which he is called, the Lord our righteous Savior." And then Micah writes this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times." And Hosea, the most profound of all, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Let's join together in prayer as we begin our worship this morning. Lord God, as we worship you, we praise you especially this season and this time, because you sent us a Savior, you sent us a Emmanuel, God with us. You sent us the Christ, who is Messiah, and Jesus. Father, we thank you, for you give us hope. You show us your grace, you give us mercy. And Father, through your Son, and through the special time, we remember him. Lord, let our hearts be filled with joy and gladness. Let our minds ponder the wonder that we have of a little baby in a manger, and of a man on the cross who gave his life for us so that we may live. Father, thank you for blessing us, and we pray that our worship today will be a blessing to you. For this we ask in your Son's name, amen.
The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, page 933 in the Pew Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. Commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Dear Father, we come before you now proclaiming and singing glory to you in the highest of heavens, and thanking you for bringing shalom to us through your Son, our Emmanuel. And Father, we read in your word that you had a plan to rescue and redeem us from the evil one. through your Son, and that when we read further, we see that you remain true to your promises by sending the Messiah, coming to this world as a helpless baby to be raised by some godly parents that you chose that would be under your care and who would become our Savior and the Savior for the entire world. And Father, we thank you for Mary and her faith in you, that she would become the mother of your child, not knowing how these things could come about, but to cherish those things in her heart and to hold them closely as she saw those promises that were made long ago carried out through her and through her son that she bore. And Father, we thank you for Joseph and the faith that he had and the trust that he had in you, that he would follow what you asked him to do, not knowing the plans that you had for the entire world through his family. We thank you for their faith, Father, and we pray that we can be like them in our lives as well. Father, we thank you for this season where so many people in the world focus more on you and your son than they do at other times. And as those shepherds proclaimed that Jesus, the Messiah, arrived many, many years ago, help us to proclaim and continue to proclaim that message, that good news into the world, so that other people can see you and your son and to be able to feel that love of you in their lives. Father, we come before you now in deep sadness on the news that our dear brother Marcos has passed away from this earth. But we thank you for Marcos and the joy of knowing such a wonderful man of God. He blessed us so much, Father, by his love for you and teaching so many people about you and giving them the opportunity to see you as well. Help us, Father, to learn from the example that he gave and how to truly live a life for you. Father, we know that he is in your arms now, resting comfortably, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, and we're happy for him, and we look forward to the day when we'll be with him and with you as well. Father, we pray, though, that you would be with his family and his friends and with us here today as we grieve and mourn the loss. And we know that it will be difficult times for his family. And Father, we just pray that you would show them the love and comfort and give them your love by wrapping your arms around them and showing them the peace that passes understanding that only you can give. And help each of us to reach out to the family and to show them your love and to help them through this time. Father, we do thank you for Marcos, and we do thank you for everything that we saw in his life. And Father, we also pray that you would be with Patty right now with this blood poisoning that she has. We just pray, Father, that those that are working with her will understand what's going on and be able to treat her in the proper way so that she can regain her strength from that. But regardless, Father, of what may happen, we just know that you love her and that you watch over her and help her feel your presence right now, Father, as she trusts in you. And Father, be with us as we continue to focus on what you've gave to us and to the world through your Son, and help us to proclaim that message today and every day of our lives. And we pray through your Son's name. Amen.
I'll be continuing our scripture reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this great thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about him with his child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the fallings and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth.
We continue our scripture reading in Book of Matthew, chapter 2, entire chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
We have to remember that Jesus did not stay a baby. He did grow up. This time we're transitioning to the Lord's Supper, which takes us from the birth of Jesus to the death of Jesus. And we have to remember that he came for a purpose. Isaiah gives us a prophecy of the Messiah to come, describing part of that purpose, and an excerpt from it follows. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Because of this purpose, he was born. And that's why Simeon, in the reading we had a little earlier, says about him in Luke, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed."
Each week during this time, we stop and talk about a remembrance and for God's gift of Jesus. Well, usually one Sunday a year, sometimes two if Christmas happens to fall in the middle of the week, we'll go to either side of it. But we get to talk more about remembrance of the gift and remembrance of the birth. Let's consider that without the former, there is no latter. Without the birth, there's no death. Without the birth, there's no forgiveness for sins. Jesus can't die for our sins. So the birth part of the story is indeed a critical part of the story for us. So now what I want to do is just take and look for a moment at the first Christmas gifts, if I could be so bold as to refer to them as the first Christmas gifts. So what did the Magi bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is still valuable today. So 2,000 years later, something that the Magi brought continues to be valuable. How many people today ever consider giving the gifts of frankincense and myrrh? In fact, did you even know that it was something that could still be bought and sold and given as gifts? In the Old Testament, if you read through scriptures looking at those items, you will learn that they were indeed things that were valuable in that time. They were things that were transported, they were traded, they were things of value in the Old Testament days. So while gold has maintained its value, we don't usually think of trading in frankincense, and myrrh. So it's interesting that these material gifts were brought to a spiritual savior. So even the Magi in that day likely didn't understand the full implication of the birth of a savior and what it was going to do. Now, gifts are kind of a strange thing today, or much different, maybe, what I should say, than what it was in the Old Testament times or in Jesus' time. Today, gifts are wrapped and there's much fanfare around it. Sometimes, not a lot of thought around the gifts. These were gifts that had great thought. In fact, I would suggest that the best gifts are gifts that have great thought, great intent behind those gifts. But what was the real gift 2,000 years ago? Was it gold? Was it frankincense? Was it myrrh? No. The greatest gift those 2,000 years ago was the gift of Jesus. We think about what it means to us. We think about the redeeming value. But the gift was the birth of Jesus. As we partake this morning, let us remember the gift, the significance of that gift, that without the gift of the birth of Jesus, we wouldn't be able to partake of this. If you would join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, the intent and the thought behind the gift of Jesus is more than our human minds can comprehend. And now, Father, as we partake in this remembrance, help us, Father, to see the intent, to see the gift, to understand that you knew what we would need. And Father, help us to see our need and understand it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we continue with the cup, let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, the bread representing the being the symbol for his body, and the wine, the symbol for his blood that brings us the gift of forgiveness, that brings us the gift of life with you. Father, help us to partake of this. Help us to remember. Help us to understand the gift. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the same time, we have an opportunity to leave our gifts for the support of the work here and the support of the congregations that we support. There are boxes by the side door and the back door for you to leave your contributions and gifts in, if you would join me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the blessings that you give us. Father, we know that all the things that we give, we're giving back to you what is already yours. And Father, help us to be generous, help us to give in a meaningful way. And Father, bless those that administer these gifts and that see to it that they get the maximum value in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you, God, for this time of worship to reflect upon your love, God, your plan, your mercy, Holy God, and we thank you so much for that. As we set upon this time right now, just to contemplate about you coming to earth, Holy God, leaving the heavenly realms, Holy God, it leaves us in awe. It just becomes difficult for us almost to wrap our heads around, Holy God. You could have brought salvation in any way that you desire because you are God, but you've desired to take and dwell among your people. So you come as an infant, you come in a manger, God, in the light of Herod's great temple, Holy God, you humble yourself and you lived a life, God, of humility, God, and service. And again, your desire to take and dwell with us, Holy God, reflects your ultimate desire for you to be able to dwell with us, for us to be able to dwell with you in eternity, God, and we thank you so much. God, we thank you so much for the love that you've shown to us. We thank you, God, for the mercy and the grace through Jesus Christ, Holy God. As we see as a babe right now, but as we've looked in Isaiah, God, as he is upon the cross, Holy God, and just takes and has his desire, God, to take and shed his blood for our forgiveness. God, continue to change our hearts and who we are, God, so we can reflect better your love. Help us, God, to advance your kingdom again and your greatest desire for all your children to take and dwell with you. We bring right now, God, people that are just hurting. We pray for Marcos's family, for Zoe and for Maria, God, and their whole family. We thank you again for the example that you put in our life through the life of Marcos, God. The scripture of just that well done, good and faithful servant just comes to mind when we think of Marcos. And again, comfort his family, Holy God. We pray for Patty Young, that you would watch over her, God, and give her strength and comfort, Holy God, and let her know that you walk alongside her in all these challenges. We pray for your blessings as we spend time with our family and friends over Christmas, God, and again, that we can be that light that you desire for us, not only by the things that we say, God, but by the way we act and the way we live. Again, thank you for all these things, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.